The Lord revealed this principle to me a number of years ago. My wife and I have been very fortunate to learn about stewardship relatively early in our marriage. We learned out of necessity. We gave out of our necessity, and God really blessed us and prospered us. And over the years, He blessed us so in financial ways that we were able to give very significantly into the work of the church. We were able to give more than I thought that I would ever be able to earn. And it was our great joy to do so. But one year we came to a point where we were not going to make any adjustment upwards in our income, in our commitment, because it was already rather substantial. And the Lord took me to this passage of Scripture, and I want to share it with you today. The 24th chapter of 2 Samuel is a story of David's having made a terrible mistake. David is at this time the king over Israel. He has great power and great influence, and he has unlimited authority in the governing of his people. But he was provoked by, we're told in the complimentary version of the story in 1 Chronicles, that the devil prompted him to count the people, to take a census, so that he would know just how great he was. And when he did that, it displeased the Lord that he had done so. And verse 10 tells us that David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And the next few verses tell us that God sent one of his prophets, a man named Gad, to David and said, yes, this is a terrible thing you have done, but God is giving you a choice. You can have, let's read the 13th verse. Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land. Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. So God said, there's a price to pay for this evil, and which of these three will you choose? My message is not from the 14th verse today, but I want to share it because as I was reading in preparation for the message today, this 14th verse just rung a gong on the inside of me, and see if it does you. David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. I don't know what to do, but here's my choice. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Let me not fall into the hand of man. In other words, I'm willing to submit myself to the hand of God. No matter what he has in store for me, I know that his mercies are great. And even if he's going to chasten me, I know that he will do it with mercy. That just touches my heart in a special way today. And so the Lord, verse 15, sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. There died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up, as the Lord commanded. Now the place where Araunah, we find in other places of the Scripture, the place where this man Araunah, this farmer, had made his threshing floor was just a piece of hard ground on a place that has come to be known as Mount Moriah. It is the place where Abraham took his son Isaac for sacrifice. It is the place that years later Solomon built the temple, the great temple of Solomon. It was on this very spot that the farmer Araunah had cleared an area, and he was using this hard ground as a place to thresh his grain. And you know how they threshed in those days. They put a post in the middle of the ground, sunk it into the ground, and then they would harness the oxen up to a bar coming out from that post, and the oxen would just go round and round and round all day. They would go round trampling, and the farmer and his helpers would bring the grain in on the stocks, and they would throw the grain in this area. So as the oxen went around, that they trampled out the we sing the song Battle Hymn of the Republic, and we have the line in there, he is trampling out the vintage, the idea there of trampling out the harvest, in that case trampling out the grapes, you know, for the wine. We have the verse of Scripture several places where we're told that you don't muzzle the ox while he's threshing the grain. In other words, the oxen are out there doing all the work, and you don't put a muzzle on them so they can't take a bite once in a while. And talking about compensating those that work in the ministry. That's where these phrases get their have their foundation. And so Araunah was there with this place of ground called a threshing floor. They just did it on the hard ground. He had his oxen, and then he had his yokes and other wooden instruments and so on that are part of the threshing operation, including wooden forks and so on that they would handle the grain with. All of that is important. And the prophet of God said to David to go up to this threshing floor on Mount Moriah and make a sacrifice unto God, build an altar. David did so. On the 20th verse, we're told Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him, and Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face before the ground. I guess he would if his king was coming to his humble home. And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? What are you doing here? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee. I want to buy this piece of ground, and then I want to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be the oxen. You can use them for the sacrifice. Just kill my oxen. And here be the threshing instruments and the other instruments of the oxen for the wood to make the fire. In other words, Araunah said, no, I won't sell you this piece of ground. I'll give you this piece of ground, and I'll also give you the oxen for the sacrifice, and I'll give you my farm implements for the wood to build the fire to burn the sacrifice unto God. Verse 23, all these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And here's my message. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. And so David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Now, what is David saying here? David is saying, it is not a suitable offering for me to bring something to the Lord that doesn't cost me anything. And if you give me the threshing floor, and you give me the oxen, and you give me the wooden instruments, and then I offer them to the Lord, what did it cost me? There's no sacrifice there. There's no offering. There's nothing of mine that is involved in this offering. There's nothing of me that is involved in this offering. I'm giving something, but it doesn't matter whether I give it or don't give it. It doesn't cost me anything, and so it doesn't mean anything to me. And that truth is applicable to us, I believe, today. The Lord showed us that particular fall that I referred to a little earlier, when we were going to just maintain our giving. And the Lord spoke to me out of this passage of Scripture and showed me that even though we were giving significantly, we had gotten so adjusted to it, we had gotten so accustomed to it, it was so easy for us to do, the Lord had continued to prosper us, and while it was a meaningful offering, it wasn't meaningful to us because there was no sacrifice in it. Remember what the children of Israel used to do when they brought the offering? Remember what they brought? They brought of their livestock. And they offered it. And do you know what the priest did with the livestock? They killed it and burnt it. You say, that is really stupid. At least they should have gotten some use out of it. No, that's not the idea. When we give something to God, we give something that means something to us, and we give it wholly and completely to Him. If we don't, we're not making an offering. If you remember what the Lord told Moses to do, to instruct the children of Israel to do in the 12th chapter of Exodus, just before they came out of Egypt, you remember the Passover miracle? And God said that they were to kill the lamb and take of the blood and put it on the lintels of the house, and the death angel would pass over. Do you know which lamb it was they were supposed to kill? It was the lamb that they had gone out in the flock to get and bring up into the house and keep in the house like a child in their bosom, I believe the scripture says. You don't just go out in the flock and just get you a lamb out there that you don't even know. You get one that has lived in your very house with you, has slept in the very bed with you, one that you have given a name to, one that you have come to know and love. That's the lamb that I want you to give in sacrifice, because then and only then it will really be a sacrifice. David said, "No, Araunah, I appreciate what you're trying to do, and I appreciate your graciousness and your generosity to offer me this threshing floor and these wooden implements and these oxen, but the sacrifice then wouldn't be mine, it'd be yours. It wouldn't mean anything to me, because you'd be the one that would be giving it." We had decided that fall that the extra money that we had, that we were going to purchase a dream. And that was, we were going to acquire a piece of lake property and build a vacation home on it. The Lord spoke to me out of this scripture and said, "Your offering doesn't mean anything to you. You must give something to me that cost you something." And so we took our level of giving up by the amount that we were going to use to buy the lake property. And it was a sacrifice. Do you know what God did? The very day that we made the commitment to give that lake property to the lake property we didn't own yet, the property we were going to buy, that very day, there was a person who's still part of this church that saw what we were doing and came up to me later and said, "You know, for 3 years I've been making payments on a piece of lake property. We don't even like the lake. I just bought it just for, you know, for no special purpose. I just made the last payment last month. Could I give this property to you?" That's the way God works. When we decided to give in a sacrificial way, God gave back to us. Now, let me take you to the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and look just briefly at a familiar story. Now, why am I saying all of this? Because I want you to think about this week as you are thinking about, what am I going to give to the Lord? Well, I don't really want to give my Saturday afternoons to cut the grass at the church. I like my Saturday afternoons. I play golf on my Saturday afternoons. I go fishing on my Saturday afternoons. I go ride my horses on Saturday afternoon. I go show my dogs on Saturday afternoon. I take a nap on Saturday afternoon. I like it. And I'm not going to give my Saturday afternoon to cut the church's grass. We must give something that costs. It's got to mean something to us, or it's not an offering for the Lord. Our finances the same way. Look at Genesis 22 and verse 1. "Came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." He put Abraham to the test. And he said, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here am I." And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Take that which is most important to you, and get thee to the land of Moriah," same place that we just read a moment ago about David many years later, "and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee." We know the story, how Abraham did take his lad to the mountain. Verse 5, "Abraham said to his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and do what? Worship. You see, giving is an act of worship. It's not an act of depriving ourselves of something. It is an act of giving something that we think is important to us to God because we love Him. It's an act of worship. That's what stewardship is all about. That's what giving of our time is all about. That is what giving of our talents is all about. That's what it is when someone comes to the platform and sings or someone plays the piano. Miriam comes every day, every Sunday, twice on Sunday. Why do you think she does that? It's an act of worship. It's an act of giving to God. If you're around this church at all, you're going to see John Rogers here most every day doing one thing or another, usually a couple of dozen things at the same time. Why does John do that? It's an act of worship as he gives of himself to the Lord. Are there not other things that he would like to do? I'm sure there are. But he takes that which costs him something and gives it to the Lord. And I'm grateful for examples like that of people who give in that way. I and the lad will go yonder and worship, come again to you. And so Abraham took his son to the top of the mount, and on the same place that David sacrificed the oxen 2,000 years later, Abraham raised the knife to lay death into the heart of his most beloved son. The example of our stewardship, I guess, is even more beautifully shown than in the life of Abraham in the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 3 and 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He gave that which cost him the most. And I want you to think this week. I understand that you've heard me say time and again, and I want to say it to you again. I want you to understand this, that God does not need our money. God doesn't want our money. He wants us. And I'm not trying to get you to give more money so the church will have more money. What I want you to do is give more of you to God. Because if he has more of you, then I know that you will have more of him. And I don't know about you. I think that you want, as I do, I want more of him. And in order for that to occur, I want us all to think about giving more of us to him. So as you think about what you're going to give, don't think in terms of how much can I give. Think of how much should I give. And what would be a sacrificial gift for me? What is going to cost me something? I think we might think about things that are in our lives, material things, that we could express ourselves to God, express our love to God by doing without in order to be able to give to him more generously. That's my message to us today. I believe God wants us to look in our hearts and make sure that whatever we put on that card and then bring it to church next week represents a gift that costs us something. I don't think that we ever ought to get so comfortable with our giving that we're not aware that we are making a sacrifice to God. Amen. Let me ask you to stand, please.